On the field, I declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. Trump Report. Do we call it Tyranny Report or Tyranny Trump Report or Trump Tyranny or whatever? We're talking with Dr. Frank Tamberry, and we're going to have a really good time. We just got done with Dr. Mikovits, and Dr. Frank hung out for 10, 15 minutes or so and participated in that. I'm probably going to put Dr. Mikovits and James Corbett together because of the way the timing works for the show, because I know Frank and I will go long. And that'll be kind of a, you know, push to come over here and talk to us about the news that be a happening now, because I have not been paying that much. I mean, of course, I'll look at the headlines and I'll send stuff to be put up, and Donna's been doing a lot of work, but we've been at the Jackalope up here in northeastern Arizona in the mountains and the pines. And I'm happy to just not be informed. I had to take a freaking break from the world, and we operate in the site and doing a lot of interviews with the people up there. But the mindset is totally different. It's just, yeah, we're solution oriented now. This last year has been solutions. There's, you know, now what? But to get us, pull us down into the muck and mire of the news and what's going on is Dr. Frank Tamberry. Welcome to the show, Dr. Frank.
Howdy. Well, I'm not sure where to start. I mean, it's I know a lot of people feel so a little overwhelming with everything happening. We had a nice, or you were having a good long talk on with Dr. Judy about COVID, and there was quite a bit of information I wanted to add with COVID. I'm not the authority as Dr. Judy. I'm sort of, you know, as a doctor, I mean, I'm dealing with this, but some issues of COVID I want to bring up. Other some side issues we will get to, of course, is, I think we often talk about, the at least for me, the worm has turned as far as, I think, the country waking up, not lying down anymore. I think people took the last year or so, or a few years, still sort of going through a shell shock, you know, finding out that our media lies to us. I'm not talking about this audience, of course. All the media lies, the election process is screwed up. You know, this whole issue about the vaccine is supposed to be just, you know, the virus, one or two weeks to flatten the curve. And, well, what could be wrong with that? You know, why is Ron Paul making such a big deal about against the 2-week shutdown? It's only 2 weeks, right? Well, now, after all of this time, more and more people, the school board meetings, you're seeing the stand up of America, the people in the middle, not the crazy libertarians who've been doing this for a long time. They already saw this coming. But mainstream America, I think, is starting to wake up. And that's who is needed in this fight. Just like during the revolution itself, you know, you had founding fathers, but it was the people in the middle that had to make a choice. Now, granted, most of them stayed home, and we get that. But you have, that's what the fight is right now, is middle America, for the minds of them. People have been checked out all this time. So there's the school board meetings that have been exploding. There's the issue of how many companies now are starting to resist, including our hometown Southwest airline we'll chat about. There's, of course, the police are now starting to turn on their own governments, the local governments that they don't like especially in Chicago. There's the whole Cuomo affair, which I think has more, there's a deeper part to the Cuomo of what that represents. And also, as we speak, there is the cyber symposium being shown right now live that many of my friends and colleagues are watching. On Frank Talk TV, I think it is. It's the Mike Lindell new social media site. If you guys are not a member of that, definitely set up or sign up. It's just an email and your phone number if you want. And he's pushed ahead before Donald Trump. Well, I don't know where that Donald Trump social media is. Supposedly, I keep hearing it's out, but if it's not out, I have no idea. But Mike Lindell's already got his. And
it's called what? Frank TV or something?
It's called Frank. Yeah, Frank Talk TV. Let me just pull it up here.
Yeah, I think I've seen it. I see a lot of news, you know, with Lindell.
Frank Speech. It's frankspeech.com.
Now, he was on, I saw a headline of him being interviewed by CNN. You know, they go, well, come on, let's do it, you know, rock and roll. I wouldn't do it unless it was live, but I don't know if it was live or taped, but did you watch that? How did it go?
Well, it's happening right now. I was just, you know, I was on the phone listening to you guys, and then I'm just getting text messages from some of my groups, and they're all watching it now. I mean, Mike Lindell, supposedly he was attacked I don't know if they meant physically attacked last night or they meant his website attacked is maybe what they meant. I think it was the website. So he's, I mean, this is full on. And I think Mike Lindell's already been, he was already stricken down off of Fox. Remember they canceled, they
you know, some ad he had, stopped. Yeah.
Yeah, some ad or whatever. So he said, screw you. And he's pulling all of his ads. And he was one of the main guys. I mean, he probably paid for Sean Hannity's house alone. You know, how many ads?
Yeah, no, this is not about money anymore. You know, I can see that. That was never their thing. It's not about money. It's about power and control. The money stuff comes later. Anything in media, they'll take a loss to get, you know, $2 trillion budget passed. I mean, that's what all this stuff is, just to get another budget passed. And then you got McConnell coming in and we get a budget passed. And there's somebody's paying off to get a budget passed. And then it's runaway time. You know, they go, what are you, Ernie, an anarchist? I'm like, compared to what? What I got now? Is that my choice? Nothing or this?
And keep in mind, it's not just politics. And you're completely right. I mean, they don't mind losing. They're burning bridges because this is it. We're at an historical inflection point. And they know it. And like I said on the Dr. Judy show, on the other show, you know, the sociopaths, I think, that have been the apex predators all this time, finally with technology changing, with the internet and such, with power and control coming from the bottom up for the first time rather than top down, the sociopaths, the people that had their little place that nobody knew about, like Epstein's Island, you know, this is stuff that was never, ever, that came out. And think about how many other Epstein Islands that may be out there or that were in the past, you know, hundreds of years, thousands of years. This stuff went on all the time, but there's no way to know about it. Now, technology, the common people, the proletariats are figuring this stuff out and asserting control. And so the sociopaths are having this, like, autoimmune response going, oh, hell no. They're getting backed in the corners. And I think this whole COVID issue, this everything that's happening at once, a purposeful destruction of the economy, it's all happening at once as this reaction. But I think the people will finally prevail, but it's an issue. But right now, you know, like you said, they're willing to burn down the village and take losses and take hits and do things that make no sense to a lot of Americans. Why are they doing X, Y, Z? And it's not just politics. It's also, not to get on the diatribe here, because we've talked on the show, pop culture. So why we talk about it on this show, and I won't bring it up too much this time, but there's been how many more movies? These movies are all crashing and burning. They are taking franchises. They'll pay $4.2 billion for Star Wars and purposely inject messages in there that nobody wants to hear. I mean, if you want to make a movie about social justice warriors, then make a movie about social justice warriors with all sorts of different new characters and put it out there. The reason they don't is because no one's going to goddamn watch it. So they have to take Star Wars and put their message in something like a Trojan horse. It's like putting a, you know, cherry flavor in the medicine for your 4-year old. That's what they're trying to do, and it's all backfiring.
You know, I'm wondering at what point that I remember this with when they were doing Star Wars. ABC is, you know, owned by Disney. Disney's got big giant stockholders, and they're all invested in Disney. And the stockholders go and they say, you know, this stuff, you're not taking our interest at stake. You're losing money. You don't have the value of the stock because you got some political philosophical agenda that you're doing, and it's costing us money. And they go, ah, shut up and sell your stock, or we'll buy it, or whatever. And you're not allowed to have a say. So money was never, as they got infiltrated into our culture through the media and through movies and through whatever. It's not about the money anymore, because they get their money from the budget gets passed. They get their money on the other boards of directors that they're on for other big box of the company or something they're making their parachute of whatever. They don't care about the employees at Disney or, you know, their clients or the little kids are getting brainwashed with Happy Feet or whatever. So I'm going, there's something else going on. So when you had Black Widow and Scarlett Johansson came out, you know, I was really looking forward to that movie. But I'm like, you know, if they're going to do it, I don't care. Well, then what happened? Nobody cared. And then the big lawsuit now is they couldn't get people to go watch it at the movie theater, of which Scarlett Johansson got a cut of the box office. So they just went straight to streaming it on Disney Plus because they're trying to recoup their money. And she's suing, saying, hey, well, then you really cut into the box office, which is where I was, you know, making the money on this movie, and you're screwing me too, because they can't make money with the kind of stuff that they're putting out. So when I go to, you know, we have, you know, movies on a hard drive to watch, and I'm going, you know, hey, we're watching, I look through, hey, you know, it's about time to, you know, do Star Wars again, and I'm going, you know, I just would even start from the first one, or get the Empire Strike Back, or get the Phantom Menace Episode 1, or get, because I know if I start and I go through, the last trilogy is all this woke crap of, I don't care. You know, it's just, it's never mind. Marvel's starting to do the same thing. At what point does it stop? You know, well, no, who no, would stop?
The thing is, no, no, when I talk about, we should turn this show into the Worm Has Turned show. Of course, it's not quite as catchy. But I honestly feel that way. I really do. I mean, when it stops is when they run out of money and like, you know, at first you had companies that would go all woke because, you know, often you had the people in charge were the offenders. There are rich white men who abused probably their female underlings and didn't allow anyone aside from white men to take their spot. So they would turn around and, you know, so before they got accused of all of that, they would just point the finger downstream and blame everybody else, including their own patrons, of the very thing that they were being accused. So that was a way to take the deflection off. It's like buying time. That basically, if you don't attack me, I will take your grievances and shove it to everybody else, including the customers, as long as they don't attack me, because I now see the problem and I'm trying to make a change. Well, eventually they will come for you. So it's like you can throw all the countermeasures out there to distract everybody. But eventually, eventually they're going to turn on you, and that's what they're doing. So you're starting to see a lot of these resignations, people just leaving companies. But you also are seeing that the money is not there anymore, and the change is happening. Let me just give you a couple examples. And trust me, guys, we're not going to be bogged on just pop culture. But I appreciate with Ernie too that it is such an important part of our culture, because this is a culture war. So what else is pop culture? You can also do this with sports. I don't follow sports as much, but it's been happening there as well. With just look at the Olympics and the ratings collapse over the Olympics, and then the pushback of seeing Subway. I assume you heard about that, right?
No, I haven't heard about the Subway thing. I know the Olympics. It's over now, and I didn't watch.
Well, no, it's over. Oh, dude, you didn't hear?
I didn't even watch a single thing. I don't care. Other than that, NBC lost their ass on it.
Dude, it's the worst Olympics ratings ever. And keep in mind, we have a higher population now than before, and yet still it's the lowest ratings. So I forget her name, and I don't really care. But the blue haired check mark, you know, alt lefty, you know, Marxist
woman soccer player. Yeah.
I said all that, and Ernie goes, the soccer player. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, the soccer player. It turns out because she was pumped up so much. Along with the gymnast from the lefty media for months leading up to the Olympics. You know, she was the new darling. Well, what happened was she was signed on to be one of the main sales reps, or at least the promotion for Subway, the Subway franchise chain, which, by the way, Subway itself doesn't even own the stores. They're all franchises, right? So you have to, you're forced as a franchise owner to pay a certain percentage for marketing to Subway. Well, Subway turns around and contracts the Marxist soccer player and makes all these commercials before she left. Well, then she goes overseas and takes a knee and bitches about the country and hates.
And all the franchisees have got dartboards of the posters of her in their front lobby.
Now they're running all these ads, and all these customers are saying, F you, I'm not going to come to this store because those ads. So the franchisees, who are already bleeding money because of, you know, the economy and they can't find employees and whatever else, now they're having a market decrease in sales as people are boycotting at the Subway. So now they're yelling to corporate, saying you have to pull these ads, and there's a good chance they're going to be pulling these ads. So you're seeing this pushback that was never there before. Boycotts are always at the left, a bunch of loud children, And conservatives, libertarians are like, free market, you know, just people do whatever. They ain't really getting involved.
Boycott is a big libertarian thing. You just don't shop there. I mean, blackmarketfridays.com. Well, we got it while voting. You know, I should forward it to Black Market Fridays too. Blackmarketfridays.com. Corbett and I have been pushing this. It goes to agris.market. Hundreds of vendors have signed up just to get away from this crap. You know, so Black Market Fridays, every Friday, you know, use alternative vendors, alternative currencies, alternative, you know, communicate. We're done. One day, we did blackmarketfriday.info, you know, after Thanksgiving. It was so successful, and the education you got out of it was so good. You need to learn how to do cryptocurrencies. Phoenix Crypto, Doug Hodges was up here at Jackalope, and he went to the meeting with me to the Chamber of Commerce. We got to interview the chair and went to the Chamber of Commerce town hall meeting they had Tuesday night. And Doug got up, and he's like, you need to learn crypto before it's too late. They're going to turn off your bank. You're not vaccinated. Boom. You don't get the credit card processing. You know, so this is, you know, we're training people to survive this next, whatever the hell it is, you know, and I want to, you know, and it's all this marketing and money and beating it into your head. And I'm wondering if, you know, blue hair soccer player, she's like, not understanding the feedback, or we're just, you know, the whole world should be woke and they're just not and they don't get it. And it's just, you know, a few people that are bitching and the rest of the world's with her or she doesn't care or doesn't know.
Well, you have to keep in mind, people on the left and Marxists anyway don't even understand the free market. They don't understand capitalism. They have no clue. They're not taught this in school anyway. And of course, the evil one percenters, you know, all have to be taken down. And then it's the two percenters. And, you know, that they truly want distribution of all resources. So they don't look at the free market or how an economy works. It's just the message matters, and the rest will be figured out because the powers that be always somehow make it work. It's kind of like back in the day when I would argue with my own family back in the day. They don't argue with me now about this, but I'd sit there and talk about the debt, you know, the national debt, how it's a problem. And, you know, during the 80s and 90s, no one gave a crap. That's why they put the debt clock in New York in Times Square. And I'd say, well, what does that mean to you? And it's like, you know, it's just a bunch of numbers. You know, obviously smarter people run the government, Frank. And if they're I know, that's what they told me.
Smarter or not, they're freaking evil, man.
No, I know, but they're smarter than me. Because, you know, I'm just some kid. And I'm saying that you can't just keep spending your checkbook the way that the way the government's doing. It's the same thing as your own household. And they would just say, the government's different. The government's too big to fail. They actually said that way back in the 80s. It's too big to fail. Then no one will ever let it fall apart. And basically, don't worry about it because smart people with a bunch of PhDs in economics, if they think it's okay and they're doing it, it must be because it's okay. Now, that's the response that I got. And I was just this questionable, 15-year-old. But it's like having my daughter. You know, sometimes from the lips of babes comes the real truth. And you see the emperor wears no clothes. It took a little child to state the obvious. Well, that's now gone mainstream. By the way, just a couple other examples of how as pop culture things are changing very quickly. One is with comic books in general. Marvel and DC, the comic book sales have plummeted in ways that you guys have no idea. They can't even give away their books now. But the independent market's going crazy. There's people doing Indiegogo campaigns. This one guy's name's is Van Shriver. He does this comic book called Cyberfrog. He used to work for DC. He went on his own, created his own audience on YouTube, sells his own comic book. He does like two a year. He'll just if that he makes one comic book every 6 months or a year, and he'll make $500,000 on each comic book. This guy, I've sat there watched him in his website the last 4 years make millions of dollars and buy a mansion that he gives tours over as part of the perks of buying his comic book, right? And it's old-fashioned comic book action with scantily clad, you know, female victims that you have the superhero goes to save, just like in the old days. You know, it's like regular comic books meant for boys. Also, Seth MacFarlane, who did the comic book Spawn, he just came out with a comic book in mainstream comic book stores called King Spawn. So Spawn, I guess, becomes a king, kind of like Conan or something. And I haven't read it. I don't read comic books anymore. But the word on the street is it's a kick-ass, guy, old-fashioned comic book, testosterone comic book story, kind of the old Batman stories. And this just made, like, it just sold 500,000 copies overnight. It's one of the biggest sellers in almost 5 or 8 years. So this is the type of stuff that people are turning from the mainstream completely. Then you get to the movies. This new movie came out, the DC movie called Suicide Squad, or the, anyway, it's the sequel to Suicide Squad. The last one was all woke, the one with Harley Quinn. Anyway, I don't want to get too much into the details there, but this movie came out, and for what it's worth, DC actually did a movie that I hear is not bad. It's actually fun. It's kind of a comic book movie that we've all been wanting to see for many years. Yeah, it's not the best ever, but you know, compared to the crap we get, it's a fun ride. It's got great characters, and there's no woke politics in it. Okay, now with all that said, the reason I'm bringing it up is that it bombed at the box office. It bombed. They actually gave us a movie that we've been wanting to see, and the audience is so jaded, nobody went to see it. The Mortal Kombat movie did like twice as much as this new DC movie. So now the handwriting's on the wall is that are people so jaded and so ticked off at Hollywood, they're not even going to even give these movies a try. Also, the networking streams are falling apart, which is why they're bastardizing contracts like ScarJo's, you know, in order to get as much money as possible. They're burning bridges to get these networks up because they know the future looks bad if they can't capitalize on streaming. At the end of the day, guys, and I, this is kind of a bigger picture deal, is that what I've talked on your show about four years ago about this, is that Spielberg himself and a few others in Hollywood predicted the collapse of the entire mainstream production studios, that the way we have make movies now. We're never going to be seeing, I mean, maybe in the next year we might, but the movies that are $100 million, $200 movie to make, and you see these big extravaganzas in movie theaters. Those days are rapidly, people, coming to an end, where we will never see those movies. We'll sit back and talk to our kids about, you know, these grand epics or these big blockbusters, you know, Avatar or this or that. We're never going to see these movies because there's too much risk with that amount of money. And also, you know, they're not giving people of what they want. What people are doing now is simply going small. They want movies that are only $60 to $80 million to make with hardly any marketing. The marketing has to be done through social media, which means people have to want to see it and share the story, which means it's going through crowdfunding to actually pay for the movie and to share interest and hype amongst the people. So this is what you've talked about, Ernie.
Yeah, no, Iron Sky was a perfect example. A friend of ours, you know, Andrew Strimmick, young man, he was on my butt for weeks, months for me to watch this movie. And he finally just brought it over on a memory stick, plugged it into my TV in the living room, and said, "We're watching it." Boom. First 10 minutes, I go, "Okay, we're watching it." And it was the thing that was unique about it and what I really promoted and paid, I don't know, $40 or something to get the DVD of the sequel of later a year, whenever they did it, and just to promote it, was the fact that they did it, and it came from Europe somewhere, you know, it was freaking, I don't remember, Austria or Poland or whatever. And it was guys I found out later that were doing the, you know, trip to Paxiar or some crap like that. It was a Star Trek fan movies. And they did so well and used special effects so well, and people wanted to help and act. It was awesomely done, and it was all outside of studios. It was just the fans funded it. They even had, you know, some parts in the movie, or if they, you know, donated a bunch, they get some line in the script or some crap like that. But it was so well done as an indie movie, and now you can watch it on, you know, primetime, Netflix, and whatever the hell, you know. But it was a big, giant middle finger to the studio system, and it showed that you can do really good quality, popular movies that are manifested by people. And when once you do that, it democratizes this media coverage, just like it did with news and opinion on the internet, which is why they got a deplatform. How do you deplatform a movie? You don't release it in the theaters. You don't put it on streaming. You don't. until you do, you know. But now it's getting with the stuff that we're talking about, you know, and here you go, take a drink, IPFS. I put up whatever the hell I want, and they can't stop it. So I don't know, you know, but MPAA, you know, here comes the movie producer associations of whatever the hell they are. Man, if they can, they will. And they did the same thing to Kim.com in New Zealand with Mega Upload. They put the entire force of all five eyes of military and civilian intelligence in five countries, which is England, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, America, South Africa, whatever. It's the British Empire and the U.S. to go after one German guy living in New Zealand because it pissed off the movie industry. Why? And it all is starting to manifest here because they want total freaking control. And it's not just a money thing. It is a control your mind thing. So this is what we're up against.
Right. No, exactly. But to cap off this topic, you know, of what you brought up is, yes, politicians and the media, I mean, they're willing to lose money. You're completely right. They don't care. They bake it into the cake to get their message out. But the free market ultimately will win out. You can only do that for so long until your stock is worth nothing and you have competitors that come out like the Daily Wire with what's his name? My brain's gone. The Jewish young man. My God.
Oh, Ben Shapiro.
Ben Shapiro. Oh my God, my brain went. The Jewish young man, but Ben Shapiro. I mean, he's starting his own network, for God's sake. He's got Gina, what's her name, from Star Wars, you know, heading up for his own movie. Quality movies. The technology has gotten to the point where you can do full sci-fi movies. Heck, George Lucas helped show the way how with just a computer program and a blue screen, you can make whatever. So guess what? It's going to come down to everyone can make a movie. It's decentralized. It's cheaper. And the quality will look a lot better than people.
Okay, now tell me what they're doing. Shapiro, I know when Gina Guerrero. She was, I liked her. I really did. I thought she's cool. She was a good representation of a strong woman, UFC fighting kick ass that, you know, wasn't rail thin or anything and strong and, you know, a woman, but beautiful. And I go, awesome. How much better of an example can you get than that? You know, for young girls to be in, you know, superhero character of kick ass. So I'm going, all right. You know, I didn't know she was the one that was in Deadpool. You know, that she was the strong, you know, that was cool too. So I'm going, this is a really good example. She said, I don't know what that, it was nothing. It was nothing. It was just something they didn't like it, stupid or nothing. She just wasn't kissing their butt. And she was a star in the show Mandalorian on Disney Plus, which is the only reason I watched it because it was free with my Verizon thing. And I'm going, okay, I when they kicked her off because of that, I am freaking done. Cancel all for my free stuff. Hulu, Disney, I don't care. So when Ben Shapiro gave her an opportunity to make movies and go and screw them, they may be trying to bring her back on Mandalorian. I don't know how that'll work. I don't care. But the movie that she's going to be doing that she got a gig for is what? Do you know anything about it?
The movie, no, the movie from Ben Shapiro is still under wraps. They're making it. There is still rumor that Star Wars, that Lucasfilm, now that it's being co-opted away from Kennedy, that she might actually go back to the Mandalorian. So they have to pay her a crap load of money.
Hell
and
yeah.
Now there's a big debate whether or not she should go back, even if they give her everything to come back.
Screw
so
him.
The question is, should she tell them to F you still to make the point? Or should she take it in order to show that she prevailed and the fans prevailed and our mindset of freedom and does? So
no, I want to see what the contract is. You know, they're going to have some contract, you know, non-disclosure of you can't kiss my ass. I never mind.
Well, the problem is that if she, they'll give her all the money in the world, but they're going to hit her with what will most likely be a now ironclad for everybody, not just picking and choosing who they like politically. But that if you now get, you know, signed with Disney, you're banned from all social media. Like, they're actually hammering down on everybody because they've realized it's backfired on so many.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. They're actually doing that?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So with many of their like with James Gunn and many of these people who burned and ticked off the fans with Twitter and everything during the, because what is happening is they're getting into Twitter fights with their own fan base. You know, when the fans are saying, "Look, I don't know about turning Arnold Schwarzenegger into a woman in the next Terminator movie," let's say, and then they turn around and people complain, and then they go back on their Twitter, the directors, and they say, "Well, if you don't like it, then you're just not as evolved as the rest of us, and you're a sexist pig." And they'll actually start fights with the Twitter fan. Well, they don't realize these people they're in fights with have full podcasts, and it goes through like wildfire in all the sites that I've been talking to you guys about. And so then everyone now hates the movie, and then the movie opens with really low ratings and low attendance because everyone says F you to the movie before it even comes out from all the fights. And then Disney sits back and doesn't understand why no one's seeing the movie, right? So then they turn around and say it's been review bombed by a couple angry fans who have Russian bots. And then they blame Russian bots for why Rotten Tomatoes gives the rating like 10%. So then then Rotten Tomatoes comes around and erases the bad reviews. So then the censorship happens where no one trusts Rotten Tomatoes. This whole thing is just like one thing leads to the other. So yeah, so that's the larger issue. So I wanted to tell you also that as far as the movies, what it was getting to is that these movies now are going to be smaller movies, and there's going to be many more of them. And the beauty is it's going to come down to the stories again. It's not going to be about big production values. We've already seen all of that. And how many Transformer robots can you see before your eyes bleed and you go, "All right, I've seen it all. I don't need it." I want a good story. So we're about to enter an age now of story-driven media, because that's what you do when you don't have millions and millions of dollars, but you have the ability and distribution to put your own stories out there. So that's where this is going to go.
I'm looking for some good stories. There was a couple of movies come to mind that, you know, just really didn't have a whole lot of CGI or a bunch of, you know, sets and so on. There was one called Moon or something, about a guy that was on the moon, come to find out he figured out he was a clone that, you know, they kept replicating, replacing him every year, or blah 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 blah, and it was just in this one little couple of rooms that they had to do and a couple of effects, and it went the whole thing. A good one like Quentin Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs. You know, I watch that. It takes place, almost the entire thing is in a garage. You know, and it's awesome. And I'm going, give me a good story. I don't care. I don't need, you know, freaking blowing up alien mind control fantasy land of dragons. You know, give me a good story.
Now, what's going on, guys? I'm going to give you activists and all of you something you can do, something that the media, the movie companies are dreading that you don't find out. And I'm going to tell you just
piratey movies.
I'm going to tell you how to fight back. So what happens is, we'll take Star Wars for a minute, right? So you have one good show. It's not the best show ever. I mean, I didn't even see the whole thing, really, The Mandalorian. But let's say that's the show that you want to watch, okay? And it's like maybe one good show on Disney Plus, and maybe a Netflix has one good show on there that you don't want. You know, the thing is, do you really want to sign up to the alt left Obama sponsored Netflix, you know, to watch the show? Sometimes you just don't want to get involved with them. Then they take your credit card, and then it becomes a pain in the butt to be able to cancel each time, right? And so what these companies are counting on is that they only charge you $10 a month, so they hope that you stay with them, that you sign up for their anchor show that gets you in the door, and then you stay there and you just add it to your other lists, because for $10 a month, it's not worth your time when you're busy with so much other crap and accounts. So that's really what they're counting on, because the only way to build up audiences, because none of them really have the content that anybody really wants to see. But from the audience point of view, it's a pain in the butt, because you don't want to be signing up for seven different, you know, there's the CBS All Access, if you want to see Star Trek, God forbid. There's what else? There's HBO Max. I mean, we can go all day. Everyone's trying to have, it's the streaming wars that's going on. So how can people fight back? Well, here's what the industry does not want you to know, because it's getting around. It's called burn binging. Have you heard of that? Burn binging?
Burn binging. I have no idea.
Burn binging. So this is what it is. What happens is that, you know, if you sign up with your credit card And then, of course, they just bill you, you know, for every month unless you go through the all the pain in the ass to cancel it, right? But here's what you do is you go instead to Walgreens and you purchase one of those fill-up credit cards, right? It's not just the card like for going to the restaurant. It's not just the Amazon card. They're actual cards that you can now, I don't know if you've seen them, an actual Visa card that you can load up. So it's an actual, it's a temporary credit card.
Yeah, no, it's a Visa that you can go online and use that you pre-load with cash. It's like cash online, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's why they do
it. So what people are doing is they're signing up for accounts using those. So you can just put $10 on it and then sign up on Disney Plus and then binge the Star Wars shows, watch whatever you want for $10. And then when it's done, it's done. And then if they try to collect, you hear, sorry, play again. And they can't collect it. There's nothing on the credit card. And you're not getting late fees. You're not getting this. You basically, it's a way to turn and burn. It's like having a burner phone, but for accounts. Now, if you ever want to go back, though, if you screw them over and not pay, then eventually that'll ding your email. So then what people are doing is they're just setting up fake email accounts to sign up on these networks with the fake credit cards. Not fake, but I mean, they're real credit cards, nothing illegal about it, with the burner. And then that way you can just go from service to service and not get entangled with having to do cancellation policies and all sorts of crap. So anyway, it's a really neat idea.
And if you're really cool, you download and copy and burn and put it up on kind of thing, suck it. But that would be wrong.
Yeah, that would be wrong. That would be wrong. So anyway, I just wanted to comment on all that there. Next, I want to mention quickly with the, if we can, on the Cuomo affair. I'm sure you probably don't care a lot about it. Obviously, it's taken down CNN even more. But what I find interesting is that the left, you know, they're eating themselves now. And the Cuomo was just a perfect example. So first off, you have CNN that's crossed all sorts of ethical barriers, having Chris Cuomo interviewing his brother during the viral outbreak. They were, I think he got an Emmy. Didn't Governor Cuomo get an Emmy? I think they gave him an Emmy because of his news coverage. And after all, his coverage about the vaccine, they preferred better over Donald Trump's. So that was just their way of sticking it to Donald Trump again. But anyway, they got a nice bump in the ratings besides bashing Trump all the time by interviewing Cuomo by Cuomo. Okay, even though it was a conflict of interest beyond belief, but they just yucked it up. They talked about him. He was the lovinator, you know, because all the women loved Mario Cuomo. I mean, that's what Chris Cuomo said about his brother, right? So all of that happened for cheap ratings. Guess who it pissed off? It pissed off people in MSNBC and other media because they didn't have that kind of access. So they were just angry the whole time that they were missing out on ratings, crossing that barrier, even for them. Well, now that all this has happened, the rest of the liberal media is now like a bunch of hyenas, and they're all jumping on CNN. And I mean, they themselves are attacking CNN. So I really think CNN's days may honestly be numbered to a point that we could maybe see how far out. Maybe it lasts a year or so. I don't know, but they're being attacked. Furthermore, and I've stressed on this show many times that there is a true internal civil war amongst the left. From a conservative libertarian point of view, the left is just all the left. They're a bunch of crazy Democrats. But there really is a difference. You have the old school moderate Democrat, you know, then there's the blue, it was a blue state Democrat. Anyway, the Democrats like in the Rust Belt states, I'm forgetting the name offhand. And then you have the alt-left. And the alt-left are by far the minority. These are the Maxine Waters, the AOCs. You know, these are the what we would call the extremists. But they're the Marxists. They're the straight-up Marxists. And they have taken over their own party, the Democrat Party. And the Democrats allowed it to happen because they were the attack dogs. They were the ones that went after the Republicans, and they could sit back and just laugh as that they were the pit bull. The problem is the pit bull now had a bunch of kids, and that was a bunch of pit bulls, and now the pit bulls are biting their owner. And that's what Nancy Pelosi and all of them are dealing with, and they're realizing the hard way. And Mario Cuomo was an example of that pit bull. Love him or hate him, Mario Cuomo was the darling of the establishment Democrats, the Pelosis, the Hillary Clintons. That was kind of where they were at. But now the Marxists have now taken over. They're taking over New York. And so the political backstabbing came from the Democrats themselves. So a lot of what happened was internal to Democrats, and now they got him out, and now they're going to be primarying this next governor who's going to replace him, and it's going to be a real show of force for the alt-left. And God knows those alt-left channels that I'm a member of, I was surprised. I thought a lot of them were going to talk about how, well, you know, good and bad with Cuomo. They hated Cuomo worse than like Fox News talking about Cuomo. I couldn't believe these younger alt-left podcasts. They just despise Cuomo. The hate they have.
Oh, they got the signal. They got the signal. If they didn't get they didn't before. You know, they have to get the signal. The signal lives. Time to turn. Push the button. Make it go where. You know, once they do, we get to release some venom on who? Who do you want us to do? Oh, him? Okay, cool. We're all over it. They got the signal. You know, this is just so manipulative, and I don't see. You know, I saw that the headline. You know, Cuomo resigns today. Blah blah blah. I'm like, yeah, well, of course. I knew. You know, once they started dogpiling from the White House, it was just a matter of time. He'll get his payoff. He'll get his whatever. They'll scapegoat him. But of course, when they get him, you know, squeezing women's asses. You know, we go after him, but you kill people in nursing homes. That's okay. You know, I go, these people are nuts, and people have to start seeing this. I'm not the only one.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I want to move on topic. We've got a bunch of these, and I only have about half an hour left, so I'm going to go through some of these. The Cyber Symposium on frankspeech.com. I think it's .com. That's the Mike Lindell site we were talking earlier. And he's put all of his fortune and money on basically the integrity of the voting system, Ernie's favorite topic. And they're having a symposium right now. And I asked for an update as we're on the phone here. So I guess a live update. So one of my, she will remain anonymous. She likes to remain anonymous. She's kind of not quite like the rest of us. She's just as patriotic. But a lot of them still want to stay quiet, which was all good. But anyway, they are telling me that Lindell right now has now a bodyguard because he was physically attacked apparently last night. Hackers are periodically trying to disrupt his whole website. Media badges at this conference they're having a conference right now live. Media badges were swapped, and security knows that the attendees are now compromised. All was captured. So basically people snuck in there with fake badges, and apparently they're dealing with some moles there, and I don't know. I'm not sure how big it sounds like it's a big issue, although for us, for
no,
Ernie,
they
it's like,
didn't.
For
that
Ernie,
would be
like,
wrong.
Yeah, I know for you, it's a Tuesday. You know, how many times has Fearms Phoenix probably had moles in there, and who cares? Anyway, but Lindell confronted the audience and let them know that they know that they've now can track who in the audience are the ones that compromised it. And then lastly, it says people are demoing the computer voting process. So they're going through step by step and showing the process. They also, a little bit I heard, they were talking about how, and Ernie, I don't make this too much side things. I mean, we can go all day on it, but that the people who were the elected officials were admitting that they were pressured beyond belief to go with the computer voting system. That wasn't like they, you know, anyway, I know it's a little topic. I don't want to say much more because I didn't hear the whole story, but it sounds like they're talking about how this has been a top down pressuring to be more efficient. And the joke was, since when does government ever try to be efficient? Like, is this the one time of all things? Now we have to go for expediency and efficiency. This is the one thing. I mean, why don't we try the post office and everything else?
Oh, no, they're coming after you. Okay. I got to ask you this. Do you know about us being in the New York Times? Did I talk to you about that?
Don't recall that one.
Okay. I got to tell you this story.
All right.
Last Monday, we're driving from New England to Jackalope here. I'm driving. It's Monday. Phone rings. It's a 623 number, which is like East West Valley or something like that in Arizona. So I'm figuring it's, you know, one of our friends or somebody, you know, wanting to get directions, Jack or something. So I answer the phone. I usually do anyway. This is Ernie. You know, and they go, and I think they were kind of surprised that, you know, I just answered the phone. They want to leave a message. And he goes, "You murderous traitor, you should hang." And then they hang up. And I go, "Okay, well, you know, for which egregious offense this week, you know, did I need to hang for?" So I'm, whatever, you know, I'd blow it off because, you know, I've been around a while. You get that kind of crap. And Donna goes, well, what did they want? I go, I don't know, for me, you know, me to react or something, but I didn't even get to ask what for. So I'm like, whatever, and I blow it off and don't think about it. Then I get an email next day from NewsGuard, okay? It's one of these fact-checking, manipulating, you're doing it wrong, you need to, you know, report all that CNN says or something. And they go, well, you know, we want to talk to you about your publishing methods of how you do columns with news of some, and I didn't even read Pat. I go, you know, screw you, I don't care, you know. But they mention, you know, from an article in the New York Times. So I'm going, I was in the New York Times? Okay. I did have a big spike in traffic that day, but not as much as you would think. It was only like 20-30% increase in daily traffic, and it's kind of, you know, maintained a little bit. But, you know, that happens all the time. I mean, it'd be from God knows, you know, one of our shows goes stupid, you know. So I go, all right, well, whatever. I go and I look. Now I got to subscribe. I got to do your, you know, Visa thing. Yeah, I go in and I just do, you know, a temporary subscription, download the show, unsubscribe. The show, the article, New York Times, all about misinformation on the internet about vaccines or something, right? The first three words, the Freedom's Phoenix out of Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. They mentioned Freedom's Phoenix probably four times. It wasn't until like the fifth paragraph that I go, what the hell are they even talking about? It was because we published Dr. Mercola stuff. And they went after us and the Atlanta Journal saying that, you know, because they published Dr. Mercola and, oh, my God, did Dr. Mercola misinformation to Dr. Mercola? Well, then that was right after that when Mercola said, all right, I'm taking all my stuff down, which I think he's going to put in the hard drive. And for $19.95, you two can have all the bad material or whatever. You know? So I know you know Dr. Mercola, and we could save it in IPFS. I think a lot of it has been saved. But I'm getting the impression he's got another plan. Well, he goes, woohoo, I got band material on my freaking hard drive now. Ooh, let's go get some. So as I go through the following day, I get another email from him. So this is like, what, Wednesday or something. I get an email, well, you didn't return our, you know, request for information, but here are the things that we want to know. It was like 13 things. I get to like two, you know, of how I should run my site, or never mind. I just said, Donna, just post this. You know, there's my answer, you know. So she put it up on top of Freedom's Phoenix. Here's the letter I get from these guys, and I didn't even read it. You know, I don't even care. So it's that kind of pressure. Who are these people? They're just hired hitmen of whatever the hell it is. These are not independent journalists of whatever. They just got a freaking web page and a, you know, and an email. I mean, they're just out there just to promote whatever the hell it is that they want to promote. And who are they afraid of, and who are they going to give bad marks? Lindell, his stuff, attack them, go after them. Now, for us, we're a little bit better off because we got some high-tech, you know, guys with servers out of the country of Mirrored and IPFS to suck it. So I don't care. Bring it. Bring it! You know? But what are they going to do to me? I don't know, but they're going to try. And sooner or later, it's going to go to, you know, bank accounts and credit card recipients. And, you know, my PayPal is going to be turned off and blah, 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 blah. But we anticipate, I'm shocked I'm gone as long as we have already. So New York Times, one of the single out four times at least in the article, in the first three words of the Freedom's Phoenix. Why? Because we're not playing their game. This is smell of desperation if they need the New York Times go after little bitty old Ernie. You feel me?
Yep, yep. Not yet. Well, look, let me move on to another topic here quickly. Something I it's funny, I predicted this one some time ago, and I'm sure others have as well. And that is, you know, to me, it would seem very obvious, about the free market regarding COVID restrictions, which is, you know, many companies are being pressured by the government. Even the government says, we're not forcing anybody. Oh, no, it's the carrot. Now, of course, they're like, well, switch to the stick. So, which also says that if you have to switch to a stick, it means you never had a carrot in the first place, right? Hopefully people understand that. That's been draconian all along. A carrot is a carrot. It's a gift. If you give a gift and all of a sudden there's conditioned responses and it's all conditional, well, then it's not really a gift, is it? So, but same thing here. They're playing these games. But I had said that if a company wakes up and says, look, if I'm not getting government subsidies that I actually need, and that's how government is having this control, how many companies get government subsidies for anything? And then you get one deal, then they own you. That's why you never do business with the devil, right? Then they'll owe you afterwards. Well, a lot of this is going to come down to the airlines, because the airlines are in many ways the backbone of travel for people, and yet they are technically a private company. But especially since 9/11, every airline is getting, you know, all kinds of money from the government, and they're all pawns of the government because, you know, they get subsidies and fuel subsidies and of course the TSA issue. I mean, they're very mired with the U.S. government, except one company. One company actually churns a profit, and I don't think ever, I'm not sure if it's true, if they never took money, but I know that they are pretty much all independent of all the subsidies because they have a profit, unlike the rest. And that is our very proud hometown airline, Southwest Airlines. We should do a quick little plugs. Fly Southwest. I love Southwest. I use them all the time. I have my credit card through them for my business travels.
Well, they're not going to make me wear a mask.
No. I don't know about the mask. I think that, you know, if you want to Google it right now, but they came out just the other day along with two other airlines, which I think it's worth bringing up. Why don't you just Google it for me as I'm going to explain this to people. And they have announced that they will not have a vaccine passport. So whereas other airlines are starting to threaten this, they've already come out straight up and saying, we are not doing that. Including with masks, I think with masks, and double check on that one. But just the fact of this last week or so with this insanity and this push, this desperation from the antisocial powers that be, they're using this COVID Delta strain as a scare tactic just to say, this time we really mean it. Out comes the stick. How many of you, and I know because my wife and I are both doctors, we're getting calls from all sorts of people desperate, saying, my God, I'm going to lose my job, including a couple of their airline pilots that are afraid to lose their job, and they're all looking for medical and religious exemptions. And that's been a whole other loaded topic that, you know, my doctor community is having to deal with, because, you know, it's like, okay, well, how do you write these up, and how are they accepted, and you do form letters, or how do you make it specific, or what are some...
Okay. Donna's putting this up now. This is what it says. Southwest Airlines, American Airlines, and Delta will not require employees get vaccinated. This is yesterday.
Yep.
Southwest Airlines, American Airlines, Delta have all said they will not be mandating their workers take big pharma experimental shots because everybody quit. We wouldn't have anybody, and we want to stay in business. So, you know, whatever. But what about the people? Let's see. CEOs breaking... yada, yada, yada. Airlines mandate that workers get vaccinated by October 25th or face getting fired. In an internal memo obtained by CNN, Southwest Airlines CEO Gary Kelly said the airline will continue to strongly encourage that workers get vaccinated, but the airline's stance has not shifted. Obviously, I'm very concerned about the latest Delta variant and the effect, blah, 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 blah. So they're not going to do it. Now, what about, labor shortage? Is putting even more pressure on employers to think twice about pushing this bullshit. You know, some are seething, and it goes on, and everybody says something.
Well, the same thing with nurses.
Yeah, but I don't know. What about me? You know, what about making me have a passport? Their employees don't have to do it, but I got it? You know, what kind of bullshit is that?
Donna, see if you can find if
they're requiring passports to fly on Southwest Airlines.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that part I stand corrected on because maybe it's not specific to people. But I assume if they're saying that their employees don't have to be vaccinated, then the people flying don't have to either, unless the government somehow tries to force that.
Well, they this is what happened. What was the other airline that they, you know, JetBlue or one of those smaller airlines or, you know, No Frill something, that they had this big airline, and all of a sudden, just a couple weeks ago, everybody was stranded all over the country. They just shut down. They couldn't get enough employees. They tried to make them, and we're done. You know, and they go, that is exactly what will happen to them, and they don't want to do it. And they had one of the guys up here, Mark, from Float, that does the Float Media streaming and so on. He was up here, and he said, you know, it's drop dead and die, or die and die, or something. I can't remember what he called it. You know, the drop dead date is October 1st or November 1st or something, where they're doing all this mandate. Everybody has to get a vaccine. A lot of these large corporations, they're setting a date. And this is coming from, you know, anybody that's got a government permit, a government license, a government, or you want to be in good with the government and get your favors of government and go to Obama's, you know, birthday party government, you know, which Pelosi didn't get to go. Ha, ha, ha. So you go, all right, what are we going to do? We're going to make everybody get into their fired. Well, what do you think Amazon's going to do? They just got a $10 billion secret, they don't even know what the hell it's for, contract with the government. Yay. And what are they going to do? Are they going to be required? Yep, everybody got to get vaccinated. Well, we know people that work for Amazon at various different levels of low and high end that, nope, not going to happen. And I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. But there's enough people that's going to say no.
Well, I think it definitely pushes this whole parallel economy, which is what, you know, Dr. Steve Turley and others always talk about. I mean, you've got, and of course, we've seen ourselves, you've got nurses. I mean, I'm getting contact all the time by nurses. I mean, guys, when it comes to the vaccine, well, we're going to segue to the end of the show here on the vaccine. I got some therapy options and a great resource that you guys all should check out, in my opinion. But you've got, they talk about this on the Tim Pool show as well, that the more uneducated you are, and again, there's nothing personal, of course, but the people who are vaccinated, who strongly want to be vaccinated, are the more uneducated. The more educated you are, you tend to be the larger, those are the populations with more people not vaccinated.
Years ago, the lowest vaccine rates in the country was Silicon Valley. They were not vaccinating their kids.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you got the cooks not eating their own cooking, you have to wonder why. And so people are arguing with me, and I don't play the doctor card much, but, you know, my wife's valedictorian, myself, we're both doctors. Like, when one of our friends, I mean, she's a nurse. We got so many friends that are nurses. The nurses are scared, are very scared, because they don't want to lose their job. But at the same time, and some of them still want to have children. And being vaccinated is one of the acknowledged concerns is that can increase miscarriages. So there's all sorts of problems, and these nurses are about to be walking out, while at the same time there's a nursing shortage, right? You can't get employees from Subway to the hospitals, and yet Subway's going to put that blue hair on television, and all of a sudden people, you know, and they're losing money. Then you got people walking out of hospitals because they won't be vaccinated, or the airlines. So this is why Rand Paul, again, we'll bring up a little shout out to Rand Paul, came out just the other day, and he balls to the wall. He says, this is the moment. I mean, if you guys haven't seen it at this point, even those of you that thought maybe the two-week shutdown was all right, but now this is the moment. The Delta variant is like the big push. They're using that as the ultimate scare tactic,
which is a result of the vaccine.
Yes, and then keep in mind they want to scare everyone down to another lockdown in order to put the last part of their plan together, which is to secure forever the vote. Right. They're now busting in all of these illegals on purpose. They're putting them in red states at taxpayers' expense in Texas and Kentucky. They're trying to take over the electorate by putting all these people here at our expense, just blatantly violating the law. And I guarantee they're going to use this COVID deal as this next lockdown and all the fear for the reason that people can't go back to, quote, normal in-person voting. That's why we have to continue
all of the mail-in ballots and all the ballot harvesting and all these changes, because if the racist card doesn't work anymore, which it's not on people, then the idea that you're going to die standing in line for the new COVID, gamma variant that comes out, whatever they're going to come out. That is what this is. It's a fear tactic to keep people in their homes, to allow them to keep changing, to keep the changes in place for the so-called voter integrity, to stop those laws from going through as much as you love them, and at the same time repopulate the electorate. All of this with finally Biden, and who's a one-term president, so he can do an executive order, probably for amnesty, right beforehand. And whatever executive orders he wants to throw to say that you can't argue, like the voter integrity laws get thrown out in states, that he can give amnesty. And you know what? You don't like it? Then vote him out and vote in Republicans or something later. But for the time being, he still can, if he does amnesty, how are you going to fight it, right? You're going to say, well, the next election. But the next election is going to be compromised because of them with that executive order. So I'm telling you, this whole thing is a buildup. And I think people are missing the big picture of an executive order that's going to completely bias the midterms, because they know they're going to be swept out. They're going to be blocked at everything, at least. I think that the real shitstorm is going to happen then.
Frank's still voting. Okay, I want to get this. Here's the article. All right. It took me, 10 seconds to find it. This is from... when is this? February 11th, 2015. Okay. So this is 6 years ago or more than 6 years ago. This is Wired Magazine. The sickeningly low vaccination rates at Silicon Valley daycares. Scientists, technologists, and engineers who populate Silicon Valley and the California Bay Area deserve their reputation as innovators, building entire new economies on the strength of brains and imagination. But some of these people don't seem to be vaccinating their children. A Wired investigation shows that some children attending daycare facilities affiliated with prominent Silicon Valley companies has not been completely vaccinated against preventable blah, 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 blah. And it goes on a whole thing about how, Silicon Valley is not, they're the lowest in the country, different Silicon Valley companies are even lower than others, yada, 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 yada. So I remember this from back then, exactly what you were saying, that people that are the more intelligent or informed or educated.
Well, it's not about intelligence, it's just the education about how the science works, that's all.
I mean, yeah, all, but that, MDs, but informed.
It's MDs and PhDs right now. MDs and PhDs are the highest percentage as a group that are not vaccinated. So that should say everything. Say everything that you want to know right there.
Wait,
what I was going to say is, like, the people are not as educated. Let's say you see people like street walkers here in Phoenix, right? We'll see people walking around the street by themselves with no one around them for like 2 miles, and they're wearing the triple mask, right? We've all seen that. We've seen people in their cars driving around cars with a mask on. And what it says to me as a doctor, or just someone who took biology, is just, unfortunately, how little people understand science. Just like you had the man on the street with Jay Leno asking who the vice president was, and people didn't know basic civics. They don't know what the Constitution says, which is no surprise. So just like people don't really understand civics or history, many people really don't have a foundation in basic biology for whatever the reason, the education process, whatever. So the thing is, they don't know. They just think that this evil enemy is out all around them. They can get it at any time. They don't understand the process. So therefore, how easy would they be to be manipulated into having a vaccine? Right. I mean, especially when you get a free donut and a coffee out of it. Why the hell not? So then as
donuts.
You work your way up and you understand the process, when you understand the process, not to mention the process of how sausage is made in medicine, and you see how every drug has to go through a 7-year approval process, sometimes longer, with both animal and human studies. And if you don't, oh my God, how dare you take an experimental drug from Germany for cancer when you only have 2 years to live? You're not allowed to try that drug because it hasn't been their FDA approval properly. How dare you? How anti-science are you? And these same boneheads who will tell a dying man they can't take a non-FDA-approved drug that's still experimental, but now they're telling you to put in your kid's arm something that hasn't even been tested on humans. The testing's happening, as we speak. It's just, we'll just see whatever it is.
And as a, and as a consequence, we don't know what's going to come out of it. And yet somehow we're the ones unpatriotic and anti-science for basically following what the guidelines have always been. And the science where people, the scientific method, where doctors can bandy about, they can argue and debate, that's the scientific method. But when you when you're dealing with science and only one side is allowed to explain their point of view, that's not science. It's called propaganda. And that's exactly where the situation is. So that's what I mean by the more educated. It does not mean intelligent, just to be clear. It's just understanding how the process works. That's why nurses and MDs and PhDs are the ones going, well, you know, it's just, forthcoming enough to tell others around them. I think many of them, when you're a PhD or MD, many of them have spent their whole time in academia. They're not really activists. They don't push the envelope. They're just part of this machine. So in an odd sense, you're getting doctors and nurses and such who understand it, but they haven't really gone against the system because they've been part of it. How many of them voted for Obamacare? They support Obamacare. You know, to them, as long as they got a paycheck, they didn't really care. And now they're owned by the system. So now the science part of them is saying this is a problem, but then their political side and the infrastructure that they've now been enveloped by is telling them that they can't say what they really want to believe or what they really believe. So I guess the end of the day, it just comes down to what are they doing with their children? You know, if they're going to vaccinate their kids, that's all you need to know.
No, they're going to put them in internment camps. Here's what is this? It says CDC announces COVID internment camps for every U.S. city, but it'll meet minimum humanitarian standards.
Internment? Wait. Where are you reading this? What is this?
Brighteon thing. I got it sent by Gary. Sent it to me. Last Friday, the governor of Tennessee signed an executive order authorizing the National Guard to medically kidnap unvaccinated people at gunpoint and forcibly take them to COVID involuntary internment camps across the state. Now new details have emerged about a similar plan initially launched by the CDC in 2020, which calls for nationwide COVID concentration camps to be operated at the camp sector level, which will be populated by individuals designated high risk who are forcibly ripped from their families and homes to be imprisoned by the CDC.
I can't even believe. I mean, I'm on the fence whether that's even true.
Can you smell the desperation?
Oh yeah. Oh no, they are, and they only have a year to clamp down to do all of this. That's the kicker. They know this is their last gasp. And they are using all this fear. And by the way, one last point, because I have to wind this down, is this, Dr. Judy, I was going to talk about COVID quite a bit today on the Delta, but since you just had Dr. Judy before me, I'm not going to rehash a lot of it. But I want to point out that a couple things. There was a Dr. Geer Vanderbatch, who is on the Peak Prosperity show that I've always recommended you guys, Dr. Chris Martinson, who is the one who educated me on COVID-19 way back in, what was it? December going into January of 2020. I mean, I was one of the first people talking about it on your show, if you remember all that time ago. That was from Dr. Chris Martinson. So he's where I trust. And that's Peak Prosperity. You can find that online on YouTube. And he's got his own site for non-censored discussion. Very, very good site. Anyway, he's had all sorts of guest speakers, PhDs and people on there. Dr. Vanderbash did a great video, a great interview, but he was predicting last year that if you rush out a vaccine, that if you rush it out, then what you'll probably wind up with is what they call a leaky vaccine, which means that which means that the vaccine is not going to be tight enough to block the receptors for the virus. And so if you don't really suffocate that virus with a good like hand and glove perfect match, then you get leakiness, and that encourages a virus to tweak itself more often to find other combinations that ultimately are mutations. Does that make sense? So in other words, haste makes waste. And that's what they did, right? So this is why, and I've said on your show before, why every vaccine I know of took decades to study the virus that it was against. You know, you have to learn about it. You have to learn all the permutations of it, see how it affects different populations. It takes years of medical conferences and debate and papers, you know, not during a year where it's all politically charged. And then all the conferences are shut down because of a quarantine. And then when doctors do try to talk on social media, they're shut down. Again,
no, it's all lies anyway. I got a story coming up today. It says CDC forced to adjust Sunday's Florida record COVID count lower by almost 50% after state health department cries foul on data. You know, they're just making this shit up.
Yeah, yeah. No, they are. And so now this Delta variant, and I said this on the Dr. Judy thing last hour, I want to point something out. There is what's called the spike protein, all right? We call it spiky protein, but it's technically there's one main spike. And this spike is made up of three proteins. And they're kind of like these three arms that are kind of tied together. And this is what attaches itself to the ACE, site. It's called the angiotensin converting enzyme, right? So anyway, it's the ACE site on the cell. And so the cell has this little protuberance that sticks out, and the virus attaches there. Well, it's a perfect match. It's a very strong match, which is why doing a vaccine that's not as equally tight becomes leaky, and hence you get more mutations. Well, now with COVID Prime, we'll call that, I call the original one COVID Prime, so because we're going to have other variations here. Like the flu, you have different variations each year. We have this Delta variant. Now, the Delta variant does not kill as much. I'm sure most of you guys know this by now, but it's highly variant. It's actually 1,260 times higher than Prime because of the R-naught factor. I'm not going to go back into that. During the early shows, you and I talked about R-naught. Of one means that the one person infected will infect one other person in one cycle of the virus within them. You know, R-naught 2 means you'd infect two people per cycle of the virus.
Yeah, part of the game plague or whatever it was, you know, you had these different factors. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, this new Delta variant is an R-naught of 5 to 9, which is just like complete wildfire, which is why they're looking at, you know, half the population easily getting it just from Delta alone. Well, what's interesting is that, or depending how you look at this, you know, some of the conspiratorial component here is that this Delta variant has a new, it's called a furin cleave site. Okay, so the Delta variant has what's called the furin cleave site, and this allows that spike protein to fuse much, much quicker than the COVID prime site, the COVID prime spike has. And so it's considered in kind of biology terms, they call it a cassette. It's sort of like a package, like a module. It's like Firefox. You have Firefox browser, and you put in, what do they call it?
Add-ons,
like an add-on, or you add an app to your phone. It's sort of like that. It's almost like this perfect app, which is the Furin Cleave, Cleave site, and it's added now to the COVID Prime. And this extra little add-on allows this to jump onto that ACE receptor, you know, that much quicker, and therefore it can infuse the DNA or the DNA into your cell, the virus, that much quicker. And therefore, whereas COVID Prime took about 6 days from infection so you know about it, now it's only 4 days. So losing 2 days is an extreme, and that's profound from a biological standpoint, how quickly the viral load goes up. So therefore, it's hitting you really quick, but it shows how virulent this thing is. But I guess what I'm trying to get to is this cassette of this Delta variant is so, so unfortunate, to use a quote that Dr. Martinson does, because he doesn't want to ban off YouTube. It's just that it's so precise. It's so precise to give such virulence. I mean, normally something like this you'd think would take a number of years for a virus to figure this out. And here it is. It's been less than a year, all right? I mean, we're over a year since Prime came out. But now you've got this extra one that is either a consequence of a vaccine that was put out too early, and therefore it allowed vaccine of leakage that has allowed the Delta variant to suddenly mutate. And if that's the case, something this perfect, then that shows how leaky the vaccine is in the first place, that it shouldn't have been used without proper testing long term. Hence what I say, it should be at least 7 years of testing like every other goddamn drug. Or on the other hand, you could, some people are arguing that maybe this is from gain of function research because it's so precise and it's meant, it's just almost like perfectly designed by nature to be the ultimate high octane injector into your cells, which even Prime didn't have. And again, to mutate into something this virulent, this precise, it's just, you know, you can calculate the odds. I don't know what they are. You can decide on your own what it might be. Maybe it's something else altogether. But it's just the suspicion amongst people who understand that site. And God knows it goes beyond my understanding to that level. I'm just trying to introduce you guys to the concept. But it does make you wonder, like Ernie's point, which is how desperate these people are. Is either they're so desperate they had to rush a vaccine, which is backfiring, causing more of a problem, if that's happening, while at the same time, you know, maybe it was designed, whether it was leaked by accident, who knows, but why is it that when the governments now realize the carrot wasn't working as much as they thought, and only half, if not less or more, depending on the country or area, only roughly half got vaccinated, as they said, look how cool it is. The celebrities are being vaccinated. Be one of us. Get a free donut. Like, why would you not? Oh, if you don't want it, that's okay. We're not going to force you to get a vaccine, but you're probably going to want one when everyone else gets one because you want to be cool like Natalie Portman. I mean, when that all of a sudden wore out and they didn't convince enough people as they thought because they've lost the trust of the people and the media and all the rest, well, now they're switching to the stick. They've even admitted it so in some of their own interviews that, well, the carrot ran out quicker than we thought. It's onto the stick. And lo and behold comes the Delta variant that just is really like wildfire. And it's everything coming together with a year left before the Republicans supposedly will sweep. And they are going balls to the wall, importing all these illegals. And changing the rules and blocking voter integrity and stopping the audits. And I'm telling you, we're going to see some massive executive actions coming soon. And with Biden a lame duck anyway, who the hell cares? I think he's the sacrificial lamb of massive, massive. I mean, I think they're going to throw one after another. They're going to saturate all of us with so many unconstitutional edicts and executive actions right before the election. We won't know what to do. It'll gum up all the courts, and there's not enough time to do anything. That, I think, is the moment we're all coming to. And that's a hell of a point to end the show on. But you have a last comment? Because I have to get going here in a second.
My whole view on this has just been the Chronicle. You know, the audience hears me say it a lot. I just want them to say it, you know, to be on record. Because, you know, it's like you were talking when we were into the show with Dr. Mikovits. About with technology, we're able to out the sociopaths now, where before they just go from one community to another. You never knew what their history was. They wouldn't share it, and they would learn whatever they learned from the previous time and how they can snake oil, sell, molest, murder, whatever the hell they're going to do in your community. And now with technology, and that's why all this deplatforming and purging and deleting and censoring is there, because they are being very well documented. And, you know, there's even like Scuttlebutt, the app that I could see from years ago, that any benefit that you get from a group or a community coming together to do something, whether it's intentional, paid trolls, or they're just that way, there's always a couple of individuals that can really jack up, you know, a group, an organization, a movement, or whatever, and they need to be outed. They need to be in your freaking permanent people's record. You know, they do it with, you know, eBay ratings or Yelp or whatever. I'm like, I can't do it with individuals. You know, yeah, but you're not accurate, and I don't like, well, it depends on credibility in the future. And now, I mean, this is now is when I was talking about all these decades. The future will be about credibility. Who do you believe? And they always gravitate towards authority figures wearing a white coat with a stethoscope around their neck. And if we were in the United Kingdom, they'd go to Circle K in their judge wig. I mean, you know, it's just, they need to have that. It's always doctor this and doctor that. Oh, you must call me doctor. Why? Fred, I mean, you know, I can see the future is going to be a lot better because we're going to be more informed. And the desperation that they're demonstrating on how to make sure you are not informed and you are misinformed. So what do? New York Times comes after Freedom's Phoenix because they're misinformation. Well, if that isn't a pot calling kettle black, you know? So I'm just going, this is... I you want to have this battle, let's rock, because you guys are going to get your ass kicked. What will they do? They'll go after bank accounts. They'll go after, hell, they'll just run you off the road and shoot you. I mean, you know, this is what I'm talking about. And I said, it's so easy. You're going, how stupid are they? Pretty damn stupid. Pretty damn arrogant. And they got one thing in their kit bag. They got a gun. And what happens is, as you're sitting thinking you're playing chess with a three-year-old, they stand up on the table, kick the pieces on the floor, pump you with 345s, and go, I win. They don't play by the rules. So you have to go in knowing that. So I don't play their game. You know, the game that I play is just how many people can we inform? How many minds can we free? And now it's how many asses we can save? And the chronology of all of this documentation that they're trying to purge is in the archives of Freedom's Phoenix. It's all IPFS backed up. You have the newsletters that go back over a decade. You have hundreds of thousands of articles by category. You go into vaccines and vaccinations. It goes back to early 09 when we started this, you know, and you can see the progression. So then what? I don't know, but I guarantee it needs that. So I am not afraid. You know, I just don't care, because anything that they do is just going to emphasize our chronology and our archive of everything that they've done and that we've talked about. So if you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. You want to be the employee that goes, no, I'm not taking the vaccine. No, I'm not having my children do it. No, we're not closing down, if I got anything to say about it, of our private school, government school, school district, of whatever. No, 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 no. It takes massive noncompliance. And in rural Arizona and rural America, that is what I am seeing. They just opened school here 2 days ago, and at the Chamber of Commerce meeting, the superintendent of education up here for the schools, I asked him some questions. How many kids are wearing masks? None. How many staff? Two. You know, are you going to be mandating? No. Are you going to do whatever the legislature and the governor says of whatever? Well, you know, the parents have decided that, you know, they're still going to be beholden to some executive order. But if they do that again in this state, and God forbid any others, like Tennessee, we're going to put you in a quarantine internment camp. Bring it.
Yeah, I can't even believe
it.
Well, look, Ernie, before I go, I want to just give you guys one last piece of information. I promised I didn't have the time here. Because the virus affects so quicker than even Prime, you know, early treatment protocols are really important if you happen to get it. I'm going to recommend here a site in a second, but I'm going to just read off the early outpatient protocol. So if you happen to get it very quickly, ivermectin, and there's even doses 0.4 to 0.6 milligrams a kilogram. It's fluvoxamine, nasal and oral rinse, vitamin D3, vitamin C, quercetin, zinc, melatonin, aspirin, and even a pulse oximeter. These are the recommendations, and there's doses with each of them. I know I just rattled them off. You guys are going, wait, do it over. I'm going to give you the website. Okay, here's the site where it comes from, and I highly recommend it.
All right, we're going to tell Donna here. Okay, what is it?
Yeah, I'm going to tell her, but I'm going to tell you guys right now for those listening. It's the letters FLCCC.net.
FLCCC.net. FLCCC.net.
Yeah, you go there.
The show archive. And
they have a protocol called the iMask Plus protocol. Now, I just want to let you guys know there's one thing on there you guys may not like, which is they do recommend masks as far as only when in a confined, poorly ventilated, crowded indoor space with non-household members. So you can take that for whatever you want, but you know, from that, that's probably the only thing some of you might disagree with. But there's a prevention protocol dealing with ivermectin and natural treatments, and the early outpatient protocol, which I do recommend. It's a great one that we as doctors are using with patients. And for all you guys, if you happen to get Delta, if you can get ivermectin ahead of time or as quickly as possible through your doctor, or have a doctor set up to do that. You don't want to be spending a couple of days trying to find a doctor to even do it after the fact, because then you're past that window. So just something to be proactive with. FLCCC.net. I'll talk to you next week, Ernie. And by the way, let me know privately if you think you're swinging by our other place, but we'll talk all
time. We will after the weekend. Okay. We gotta do kids stuff, and we'll get right. hold of you maybe Sunday, as early Monday, whenever. I'm in a bus. I can go do what I want.
All right, we'll chat. All right, have yourself a good week, everybody. Talk to you then.
Bye-bye. All right, peace.